It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth. I'm hosting today's show. We're very fortunate to be able to bring in three separate groups who support and have cared about federal workers for a very long time. And it's going to be a sort of an interesting packaging of that kind of show because we are in the middle of the CFC, the Combined Federal Campaign, and we normally have a CFC show. So I figured out a very creative way to bring our listeners CFC News, while also letting them know about these groups that are out there that have been really great supporters to the federal workforce. So we're going to start with introductions and from FEA, because everything, right, everything's an acronym. FEA, the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund, which is a huge mouthful. We have Robin Kehoe, who is FEA's Director of Communications and Development. Robin, you are like an old pro at this show. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
Right. It's CFC season. If CFC season, Robin Kehoe's on your radio show. And we'll be talking with Robin about CFC and about FEA. Joining us in the studio is long-term care partners, those folks that bring federal workers a phenomenal package of long-term care insurance. And Joan Melanson from long-term care partners, who's the director of program promotion for, I go by the acronym, I know I'm not allowed to, is joining us and flew in today just to be with us. Joan?
Absolutely. It's wonderful to be here. I'm up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and the weather's certainly always better here. So I love coming down here and being on the show. Thank you.
For the 6 hours of being here in Washington, D.C. And joining us today for the first time live in the studio is GEICO. And I can't even begin to tell our listeners how pleased I am to have someone from GEICO join us on the radio show. You know, GEICO has been for decades behind the scenes supporting all aspects of the federal workforce through funding it. And but they've never actually come on and talked publicly about why they, you know, why it is that it's so important for them to be out there financially supporting the federal workforce. So we're very pleased to have with us in the studio GEICO's Vice President for Public Affairs, Rinthia Ross. Good morning, Rinthia.
Good morning, Deborah. So nice to be here. Thank you very much for inviting us to participate.
And Rinthia, it's your first time on our radio show. It's GEICO's first time on the radio show. It's your first time. So have fun with us.
I will.
And there's so much good stuff that GEICO does across the federal workforce for its federal workers that it's really great to have GEICO come on the air. And both long-term care partners and GEICO are corporate sponsors of FEA. And so I thought it was a really good fit to have all of us women talk about why we support the federal workforce. But Robin, it is CFC season.
It is.
And so for our listeners, can you tell people, when does it start? When does it end? What's it mean?
Sure. So the Combined Federal Campaign was started back in the 60s, and it's intended to be the only way that federal employees can give directly out of their paychecks to a whole host of charities all across the country. And the reason for this was to make it so that feds weren't getting approached in the workplace all the time by various charities asking for handouts. So it's an organized period of time. It allows federal employees to give to the charities of their choice pretty easily. It can come directly out of their paycheck every 2 weeks all year long. You almost don't even notice that it's gone. And it provides incredible support. There are now over 20,000 charities nationwide that participate in the CFC, and FEA is one of them. And it's really an important piece of our fundraising. Mm-hmm. And so every year, right after Labor Day, CFC kicks off. It runs in different increments throughout the country. So each part of the country has its own management organization kind of running CFC in their area. And they get to decide how long the active campaign period is, how long they're having events, and really reminding people to make their pledges. Here in D.C., it usually kicks off more the beginning of October, and it runs through, people are able to make their pledges through December 15th.
December 15th. It sort of coincides with open season.
It does. It overlaps it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's when federal workers are able to sort of make adjustments to, you know, how, with their payroll when it comes in, how they want to send it out.
Right. Thinking ahead for the coming year.
Right. And for most of our listeners, Robin, they're in the National Capital Area of the CFC. And I think everybody was aware last year that the National Capital Area got hit pretty hard by the effects of sequestration and the shutdown.
Absolutely. You know, we talk a lot about how 85% of the federal workforce is outside the D.C. area, but that means a whole 15% is right here in the Maryland, Virginia, D.C. Area. And those feds were hit hard. They were hit hard by sequestration furloughs earlier in the year. And then right at the beginning of October, when CFC was getting ready to kick off, those feds were home because we had a shutdown.
Right.
And I think a lot of feds last year, very understandably, were feeling really financially uncertain. And they didn't know if things were going to be resolved for the entire coming year or only for a few months. And so there's a lot of uncertainty. And I think a lot of people chose to take the money that they might normally have given in CFC and tuck it away for their families, which is, as I said, completely understandable. Yeah. And we applaud people for taking care of themselves and their families. But it really hit a lot of charities hard. The CFC in the D.C. area, the National Capital Area, has for the last 4 or 5 years, up until last year, been over $60 million raised in this area for the charities here. And last year it was back down to about $50 million. So that's $10 million.
It's a lot of money. When you think of $60 million, the percentage is really big.
It is. And so, you know, we're really hoping that feds who had to cut back or eliminate their CFC contributions last year are planning to jump back in and get involved again this year. CFC is really important to all of the charities that participate. It's especially important to us at FIA, because federal employees are the people we serve. And so it's a lot harder for us to go out, unfortunately, because of the way federal employees are sometimes seen in the general public. It's really hard for us to go out and ask folks outside the federal community to make a donation to help federal employees. That doesn't often go very far. But federal employees understand how hard their colleagues all across the federal government are working, and that sometimes bad things happen to good people. And that's why we're here.
And that's what FIA does for
people. That's what we do.
And, you know, I think that part of the effect of the decline of giving during last year's CFC was, in addition to feeling the financial uncertainty, I think it was a demoralizing effect on the workforce. Right as you point out, Robin, right as CFC kicked in, that was October 1st was the shutdown, and they were at home and they were feeling really put upon. I don't mean that in a bad way. They were very demoralized. And I think it's, if you're feeling very demoralized about what you do and who you do it for, I think it's hard to turn the corner and say, I'm making these donations to help people. People were very introspective about the work they were doing for the federal community and the federal government. And I think it had a real demoralizing effect, the shutdown, right when charities needed this very giving group of people the most.
Exactly.
It was a very bad timing.
Exactly. Well, and it's also a time when many people who would normally have been giving were themselves having to turn to a variety of charities, including FIA, to help them get through that difficult time.
Right.
So,
and that's one of the, I don't want to say irony, but I can't think of the right word, that during the shutdown, that's when FIA needed those contributions most, because many of the federal workers who benefit from contributions made to FIA, very, you know, lower level employees, when they're sequestered and they lose 2 weeks of pay, you know, they can't figure out how to get those bills paid. So they're, you know, they're coming to FEA right at that time, you know, for help. And that's when FEA's looking to get contributions. It was really...
It was a tough time.
It was a tough time. It was bad timing. And but I do think this year is different. I think the workforce feels, I think they feel relieved. I think they feel much better. You know, we're hearing our politicians say specifically, we're not shutting the government down this time. So I think they're all starting to feel better. And I do want to talk a little bit more about exactly what FEA does for federal workers, the benefits that it hands out. But we need to take our first commercial break. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth. I'm hosting this morning's show. We're very fortunate at Fed Talk to have with us several groups who have been wonderful, great, charitable supporters of the federal workforce for many years. When we took our first break just a moment ago, we were speaking with Robin Kehoe. She's the Director of Communications and Development for one of the charities, one of, I think, maybe the only charities that specifically is set up to help federal employees, the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund, which is a mouthful, which is why we call it FEA. And Robin, I keep saying it's specifically for federal employees, but tell our listeners exactly what, for feds in need, what does FEA provide?
FEA provides two different types of programs for feds. One is our emergency assistance program, and that is the program that helps federal employees when they are having temporary financial difficulties. So as an example, last summer, when so many feds were facing furloughs because of the sequester, they were coming to us because they were losing a couple of days of pay out of their paychecks, and it was causing them a problem with paying their rent or their mortgage or making their utility payments. What FEA does is gives a no-interest loan to the employee. We pay the bill that they need help with directly, and then the employee pays us back through payroll allotment, a little bit at a time over the course of about 10 months, no interest added. That is the bread and butter. That is what we do every day. Last year in August, we went from our average loan amount of about $40,000 to $50,000 in loans a month to $250,000 in loans in August last year. And that basically tapped us out financially. We spent almost our entire budget in the first 4 months of our fiscal year.
And that was when the sequester, because the sequester hit, most of the agencies were able to push it to the July, August
pay
periods.
Right, it was the May, June, July is when it really ramped up. And so that was a really tough time for us. We also were kind of lucky last year that there weren't any major natural disasters, because the other part of our emergency assistance program is grants when natural disasters affect federal employees. That's money that doesn't need to be paid back and that we give out to help feds while they're waiting for the Red Cross or their insurance or other programs to come in and help them. The other program that we have is a scholarship program. And that's actually a merit-based...
That's the education in FEA.
That's the education part. It's actually a merit-based contest that we run every year. So for this program, we're not looking at financial need. We're looking at well-rounded students, kids who have GPAs of 3.0 or better, who volunteer in their communities, who participate in extracurricular activities. We have a short essay on a different government-related topic every year. And then we have volunteer committees, 27 of them across the country, that look at the applications for kids in their area and make scholarship awards. The average scholarship is $1,000. We also have a special program that's funded through a grant we received a number of years ago from the National Treasury Employees Union that provides some $5,000 super scholarships. Those are kind of the top of the top of our scholarships that get awarded every year. So students are getting anywhere from $1,000 to sometimes $6,000 or $7,000 in scholarships for being good students, for being good members of their communities. And this program is open to the children of federal employees, but it's also open to federal employees themselves and their spouses. And we're really excited. This year we had almost 50 federal employee winners across the country, which is really terrific. We really like to see feds who are going back to school, and they might be going back to get their bachelor's degree, or they might be going back to get a doctorate. It really doesn't matter what they're doing as long as they're in an accredited program and working towards a degree. The way this ties into CFC is that we take at least half of what we raise in CFC in each of those areas around the country, and we pledge to keep it in that region to provide scholarships for students. So if you're here in the National Capital Area and you make a pledge to FIA 11185, half of what you're giving is going directly to scholarships right here in the Washington metropolitan area.
For feds
area.
Or their feds for, or their kids.
For feds, their kids, or their spouses.
11185, everybody.
11185.
Ooh, sorry about that.
Three ones.
Three ones, eight, eight five. Five. We can do that. We can remember that, even at my
age.
It's
pretty easy.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, Robin, you have with you today in the studio two of Thea's really longtime corporate sponsors that have joined you.
I am delighted to have Long-Term Care Partners and GEICO here today because, as you say, they are two of our strongest and longest supporters. And the other part that's cool is that Long-Term Care Partners has been a really great sponsor of our scholarship program, and GEICO has been the foundation of our emergency assistance program.
And that's a nice coincidence that I pulled off.
You did.
Yeah.
You didn't even know.
I didn't even know that. But let's hear from some of your, let's hear from both of your sponsors. So Joan, Long-Term Care Partners, what makes your corporation, your entity, what makes it want to be on the corporate board, sponsor a program like FIA?
Long-Term Care Partners is a very philanthropic organization. Our employees just love doing charitable outreach. And we give them the opportunity to do that in many ways. We have three major initiatives that we focus on. The first is wellness. Secondly, veterans. And the third is education. Wellness because we are we provide long-term care insurance.
Right, so you want everybody to be
well. And we want people to be well. Right. And so it's our main business. We also administer benefits, which is the website that you use to enroll in your dental and vision programs. And those are all the OPM-approved programs. There are 10 dental options that you have and 4 vision. So wellness is really the crux of our business. Secondly, veterans, very, very big for us. The veterans program is big. We've made it a major way of recruiting, hiring and training vets in the area in New Hampshire. And we're trying to find them in that state. We have 8% right now of our employees are vets, and we continue to look for them because they are fabulous employees. And then finally, the education.
They're highly trained. They're highly trained and they're very dedicated. NPR has been doing a series on restructuring manufacturing. I'm plugging another radio show. Restructuring manufacturing in America. And every place they've gone to interview these big manufacturing sectors of the national economy, they talk about what kinds of skills and talents vets bring to the table.
It's amazing the discipline that the vets bring. But what you need to know, Deb, is that you need to train your managers to look at resumes and translate those skills into the jobs that you have in the organization. So there has to be training within the organization to see the work ethic, the discipline, and some of the time management skills that they've all acquired in the training. But the verbiage that's used in those resumes needs to be tweaked for the corporate environment.
Sure.
And so that's part of the training that we provide. And then education is the final big initiative, and that's why we're so involved with FIA. We've been involved since 2008, and I tell you, it's a great program. Robin was saying that there are 50 winners. We actually sort through applications, and we read through, and you look at these resumes and the things that these young
students
and also their older individuals who decide they're going to go back to school. How do you make the decision? It's very, very
I've
humbling.
Read some of them.
And you know, it boils down to their community service. And why are they so active in community service? They come from a federal family. And federal family members are raised in the spirit of public service. And that's what they're doing. And it warms our hearts to award those scholarships, Robin. We have so much fun, and we wish that, and that's why we keep upping how much we're donating every year, because we say we want to give more out.
It's hard to pick.
It's so hard to pick.
One of the tough things about the program is that we have about 400 winners nationwide every year, but that represents only about 10-12% of the applicants. So we have over 3,500 applications each year, and groups like Long-Term Care Partners that keep upping their donation allow us to increase that winner percentage and help more students every year. It's really important to us.
Yeah, well, this is your opportunity to hit up Long-Term Care even more.
Oh, she always takes that opportunity. But, you know, it's great. We are training the future workforce. They're going to go into public service. They're already showing that inclination. And why do we do that? I mean, we feel it's important to us because vets are the people we serve. Robin, you said that. Feds are the people we serve. We've got two contracts with the federal government, and we want to give back because we see how hard the feds that we work with work, and they don't always get credit for that.
No, they haven't, not in the last few years.
And the public service, the sacrifices that they make, when you talk about veterans, and not only the veterans, the folks that come back, it impacts the whole family. And friends and everybody else. I mean, it's a big thing. And we want to give back. And we've, we continue to get more and more involved. It's a fabulous organization.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, it just occurred to me that when I think about corporate responsibility and corporations that actually give back, these two that I have here today in the studio really represent the best of the best. Geico, you've been, Rinthia, Geico. This is a fun fact. Rinthia's been with Geico for 22 years. I beat you. I told you I'm at the law firm 25 years. That's a really long time.
Yeah, it's a great company.
It is.
Not very many people know the history of Geico and how we started. And I love being here with these ladies because basically the federal employees are our home. Mm-hmm. And for 75 years or more, Geico has been in this community. And but mm-hmm. for the federal employee, we wouldn't have gotten our start.
Right.
Leo and Lillian Goodwin in the early 30s, late, I'm sorry.
36, right?
36. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 36, came to Washington, D.C., an accountant and an actuary, and said, you know, we need to give back great rates to an extraordinary group of people, and that was our federal employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how long we've been with FIA.
Well, FIA's been around for going on 28 years, and Geico's been with us since the very beginning.
I thought so. That's what I was.
But, you know, I've been on Geico's website to get ready, obviously, for the show, and you go.
Well,
there
good
is...
for you. Now, you are employed. I mean, insured by
right.
Geico, right?
And
okay.
There's a whole page. There's a whole page on community.
Yes.
And what you do for the community. And it's really, there's, you know, as Joan was saying about giving back to veterans, Geico for, you know, years has really been an incredible supporter of Wounded Warriors.
Yes, thank you.
And huge supporter of it. But there's a whole bunch of other...
Well, the Wounded Warrior and his family. Soldier Ride is a group that we sponsor within Wounded Warriors program. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we come back.
Yeah, Rinthia knows it's 11:30, which means it's time for a commercial break from GEICO. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
If you're a federal manager, you deal with a lot of information. Here's a tip on breaking through the noise. Join the Federal Managers Association to have a voice on Capitol Hill. And to get filtered news and information specific to managing your workforce, join the 50,000 other federal managers who already subscribe and read the free weekly e-report, fedmanager.com. I'm Todd Wells, Executive Director of the Federal Managers Association, and I approve this message.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth. I'm hosting this morning's show. In studio, we have with us three groups that have been very long-term supporters of the federal workforce. It's always nice to have a nice warm show about giving back to the federal workers who've really done so much for our country. We have FEA, Federal Employee Education and Assistant Fund, and they're on the CFC, and their CFC number is
111-85-333-8-111.
Oh my God, you don't want me talking about that, do you? 111-85-111-85.
Say that fast three times.
111-85.
We have Joan Melanson from Long Term Care Partners, the provider of long term care insurance to federal employees, which is a really phenomenal product that those of us who are not federal workers and go out into the sector to buy long term care insurance. Sort of salivate over the quality of the product offered to feds. And of course, we have with us Rinthia Rost from GEICO, one of the great supporters for many decades of the federal workforce, and really, you know, sort of originally started a corporate structure to serve federal employees.
Exactly.
People think GEICO means gecko, but it doesn't. It means government
employees insurance company, right?
That's right.
And our gecko has made us more famous than we were previously. And he did so because people said, well, what is a gecko? What is a GEICO anyway? Or what is a gecko anyway? But everyone knows that story. Not very many people know the story of how really endeared we are to the federal workers and why it's important for folks to give to organizations like FEA. Robin just said it all. I mean, when federal workers did not have a place to go for resources. They were there. When folks need an education, a continuation of education, they're there. When you need grants for disasters and you can't pay something back, but you need a grant because you just need it, they're there. And so there's so many other federal agencies out there who provide for our 340 million folks in the nation, 2 million strong federal employees who provide so much for our nation, they should be treated with respect and they should be given a chance to participate in the American dream just like everybody else. And so GEICO is proud to be a sponsor of FEA and 13 or more other federal
organizations. There's a few organizations, some big ones that GEICO's been a really strong supporter of.
Yeah, like the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association. It's the largest nonpartisan, nonprofit professional association. It exclusively represents federal law enforcement officers, 25,000 federal law enforcement officers from over 65 different agencies. We also sponsor NARF, which the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. That's a mouthful. That's why
it's
they call
all
themselves
a
NARF. And they work on behalf of federal workers, their retirees, their spouses, and survivors. They're an advocate for both active and retired federal employees before Congress and the White House. Young Government Leaders is committed to providing the authentic voice for that generation of aspiring young leaders. They've got 2,700 young feds, and they're growing, active young feds. And isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that the millennial group is
coming into their own. I know, 2,700.
2,700.
I remember when they started about 5 years ago, and they had like a few hundred. And I'm proud to say that it was, I think, Bill Bransford and myself. I know Bill was involved in it, who actually introduced the people who started, the kids who started YGL to GEICO. And it never occurred to them, their kids, Renthia, and it never occurred to them that there would be corporate, you know, sponsorship. And it made them slightly uncomfortable. It's like, it's GEICO. You should feel good about it. But right. In addition to supporting these associations of federal workers, GEICO's out there doing a lot more for military families and for the federal workforce.
Well, let me tell you again about Wounded Warrior. Everyone knows we do USO, and they know that we do the airport lounges across the country. USO is the standard bearer, I would think, for veterans in the nation. And so we're proud of our relationship with them. We're also proud of a new veterans association called the Wounded Warriors Project. We've been a sponsor of Soldier Ride. I've had the honor of riding with Wounded Warriors and their caregivers, and it's thrilling. We do 25 to 50 miles of bicycle rides, which is rehabilitative for the Wounded Warriors. It's their first opportunity to get back into a normal lifestyle. And I've been on rides with them in Seattle and in San Diego.
Wow.
And
if you saw her,
Phoenix,
you'd know.
Arizona.
She looks fabulous. She's clearly doing bike rides.
But what's wonderful, they get to come to the White House. They get to see the president.
It's really, it's a phenomenal organization.
It's a phenomenal organization. And
GEICO's a huge, huge financial supporter of Wounded Warriors.
Yes, we are. And veterans in general. And so I'm, you know, again, thank you very much for being here with these ladies. It's an honor.
Yeah. And we're so happy to have GEICO with us today. Joan, from Long-Term Care Partners, I do think that it's important for our listeners to hear a little bit about the product. Just like I said, I said it sort of jokingly, but I mean it seriously. For the average American to go into the marketplace in the private sector who's not a public employee, and buy long-term care insurance, the closer you get, I think it's 60, it just becomes completely unaffordable, and you start to get a watered-down product. But the federal product is really, and Bill told me that, I mean, he always said this, it is really, it's top of the line, it's the gold standard, it's really first class. Federal workers really are very fortunate.
You're absolutely right. I wish that I could purchase the product myself, but
that's how I feel.
Can't. And I encourage everybody to at least look at it. Our view and our charter really is to have people and really educate people about getting a plan for long-term care in general and do it before the crisis hits. So talk about it with your families. What's going to happen if I need long-term care, my spouse and a family member? Develop a plan. Insurance may not be right for you, or it may be. And in fact, if it is right for you, there are other private plans out there. The Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program may not be right for everybody. But our charter is to educate people to make an informed decision about what's right for you in terms of long-term care. What's your family situation? What's your support system? What's your health history? Where do you live? What's your view towards risk if you're thinking about insurance? And there are many things to think about. And so education is our big focus. We go out and do many seminars. We're at health fairs. We're at conferences. We support probably 30 federal affinity groups. We go out and work with feds in that way just to make sure that they make an informed decision. And as you said, the older you are, the more expensive it is. If you are going to make an insurance decision, make it like many of the feds have made it. Make it in your early 50s where it's affordable and you're healthy.
Yeah. In fact, really, the price, it's like in your late 40s, it's phenomenally even less expensive.
Absolutely.
Because when you hit the 50 mark, I don't know, there's something magic about 50. We all felt that, right?
We certainly did.
Have felt
until
that.
We got a little older, then we realized 50 wasn't that bad.
Not so bad, right?
I'm enjoying the new 40 right now.
Right, exactly.
42 is but where I put you.
You have to make the trade-off between other responsibilities that you have. I mean, you may have
but it's
a mortgage.
Affordable.
You have
I think
to make
for most
a mortgage.
Feds.
You've got education for your kids. So we find that when people are doing their retirement planning, late 40s, as you said, early 50s, it's an ideal time to think about long-term care because it is affordable and you have to be healthy enough to qualify for it.
Right. And, you know, the way it's always described and the way you just described it, for some people, it's hard to get into it because it's like, you know, it's hard to think about it and approach it because you feel like you have to sit down and make this financial plan about your future. And most of us aren't really great about making a financial plan today for where we want to be in 20 years. I actually think long-term care insurance for me is about lifestyle. And, you know, that if you want to be cared for, and you can be cared for right with your product, you can be cared for it in your home.
Right. And that's where most people want to be cared for.
That's where I want it.
Right. And they don't want to go somewhere else. You know, it's very interesting.
And to me, it's about lifestyle. Like, I want to know I can be cared for. I can stay at home for as long as possible. And just like you buy health insurance and car insurance, you're hoping you don't have an accident. Right. You hope your house doesn't burn down. And I'm hoping I don't need it, but I don't view long-term care insurance as a financial decision. I view it, for me personally, I view it as lifestyle.
Well, that's why, and it's interesting you view it as lifestyle because we have people think about long-term care when they're doing their retirement planning and thinking about the future. But, you know, when you do retirement planning, what are you thinking about? You're thinking, I'm going to have all this time to do all the things
I'm going
wanted
on a cruise.
To do. I'm going to go on vacation, all those hobbies and so on and so forth. The last thing you want to think about is, oh, I'm not going to be able to take care of myself. Who's going to do it? It's what I call the icky conversation. Nobody. I mean, I look like I have leprosy if someone comes by and they say, well, what does your product do? And they start moving away
right.
like they're going to catch it if they talk to me.
Yeah, no, it's hard to confront.
And you know, you're talking to someone who's 50. You're talking to someone who's 60. We feel great. I mean, I'm going to live forever and I'm always going to be like this. Don't talk to me about needing help with eating, bathing, dressing. I mean, really, that's for my grandmother or something. It couldn't be for me, and right. I'm a grandmother now. But, you know, we just don't – it's hard to project out when you're talking about something like that. It's like sitting down and putting together your papers. Everybody should have a power of attorney. Everyone should have their health proxy. Get all those things together because you know what? If something happens, if the crisis happens, if you haven't done the planning, it's not you that will be have
family.
To deal with it. Your family members. And having gone through it with my mother just recently, it is not a fun thing to do. So the best gift that you can give to a spouse, your family members, your kids, is to put all of your financial information and papers together in an order because then it's easier for them. Then they're still dealing with the stress, the emotional stress, the financial stress, but they aren't dealing with the other stress of trying to put everything together. And second guess, what did you really want? And they're trying to figure it out. And that's really, it's the best gift that you can do.
Right. And, you know, I had this mistaken belief, which you corrected me on recently, that you could only purchase long-term care for a federal worker during open season. Mm-hmm. And that's not right, right?
You can, it's open at any time. We do participate in all the health fairs, and we're here on radio shows during health fair season because people think about the benefits then and they think that they can only get it at that time. But we find that we keep educating people year round and they come to our events. We do a lot of in-person seminars. We have a very, very comprehensive webinar program. And not only do we do them live, but we archive them on our website at www.ltcfeds.com. And you can go and find out more than just long-term care. What we try to do is show long-term care within the context of retirement planning. We talk about caregiving, what it means to your family. We talk about things like power of attorney and the documents that you'll need. And we try to set it within the stage of other insurances. You know, why do I need long-term care insurance? I have health insurance. I have disability insurance. You know, I'm so insuranced out. Don't even talk to me about it. I must be covered. I have so many insurances. So we try to educate people with information on our website. So we do it in person. We do digital outreach, and we get out and talk to people.
Right, like here today on the radio.
Like today,
and,
yes.
The products, that it's a variation of products. It's not one. It's not a one size fits all.
Exactly. You can customize the product to meet your needs and your budget. So the cost really is dependent upon how old you are when you purchase it, and what benefit levels you purchase. So those are the two factors. And we have a phone consultants that will help. I mean, you can do it all online. You can apply online. You can do all the research online. But oftentimes, 40% of the people who actually apply pick up the phone and talk to one of our consultants because they just have one question. Or some people want to be walked through the whole thing. Some people want their whole application completed by somebody else, and they sign it, review it, and sign it. So, you know, we try to work in a customized way as possible. We try to be the Starbucks of the world. You know, we'll do it your way, and we'll help out.
It's worked out for Starbucks.
It certainly has.
Right. So that's long-term care partners. What's your website?
www.ltcfeds.com. That's for long-term care. And again, I do want to mention that we also administer Benefeds, which is the gateway for doing cost comparisons and enrolling in all the dental and vision plans. And that's Benefeds.com. So we have two separate websites with two separate programs. And those dental and vision programs you need to enroll during open season, which starts next Tuesday, which is November 12th, and closes December 8th. So do it early. Everybody waits till the last day, and all the websites,
and then
of
the
course,
website
get
crashes.
All clogged. Everybody's calling and doing it the last minute.
Then you're going to get investigated for your website not working. But no, it's a fantastic. It really is a great product. The rest of us should be so lucky to be able to purchase something that's high quality. We're really glad to be able to have you on the show to explain it. We have one last segment to our show where we're going to do a roundtable back. And let each one of our partners here say something more to our listeners about what services they are providing to the federal workforce. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is, GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth. It's the final segment of our show. We've spent the last 45 minutes or so speaking with three groups who have been with and around and supporting the federal workforce and the federal community for quite some time. We have Robin Kehoe from FIA, which is a charity specially set up to serve feds and part of the CFC. CFC number 11185. And I know it's the first time all show. You can't believe I got like three thumbs up here. It's the first time all show I got the CFC number correct. We have Joan Melanson, the Director of Program Promotion for the Federal Long-Term Care Partners, which is the long-term care insurance for federal employees. And we have Rinthia Rost from GEICO. She's the Vice President for Public Affairs. She does GEICO's National Community Affairs or Public Relations and Cause Marketing Initiatives. And I know, Rinthia, that you've mentioned a few, really just a few of the federal associations that GEICO supports and gets involved in, and there's more.
There are many more, and I should probably, you know, say that we're with the Professional Managers Association, the Federally Employed Women, the National Air Traffic Controllers, Blacks in Government, the National Federation of Federal Employees, the National Institutes of Health, Federal Aviation Administration, Federal Managers Association, National League of Postmasters, it goes on and on, Senior Executives Association, Society of American Indian Government Employees, Federal Physicians Association, Federal Asian Pacific American Council, National Councils of Social Security Management Association. I mean, it goes on and on. If you are a member of a federal agency and you would like to be insured by GEICO, and we'd like you to be insured by GEICO, please give us a call at geico.com or go on our website and apply for a policy. You may, I'm sure you will, get a discount, and we're here to serve.
Right, and I have to say, having had GEICO insurance and had the unfortunate need of using it, I must say, this is the one thing that you always, and it's two insurance companies
were we
here
good?
At my
were
table.
Were we really good?
Yeah.
We were great, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You pay claims, right? And that is the number one test of an insurance company.
Well,
like when you
service.
File a claim.
What we want to do is to make sure
24,
that you are served.
Right, and they're 24 service where you take your car in to uh-huh. them and, you know, they do their assessment. And I must say, it's as pleasant and nice as when you call up GEICO, which is, you know, I've obviously done a lot of that. You call them up for your quote or to adjust your, you know, my homeowners if I wanted to make an adjustment. They're all the nicest people. It's like
Midwesterners. Located in 50 states. We have 14 regional and branch offices. We're spread out over the United States. 40,000 associates, and our number one priority is to provide the best service that we possibly can for our 12 million policyholders. 13 million.
13 million.
13 million policyholders.
13 million.
We just got that one. A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, 13 million.
But 13 million policyholders. And we're very, very proud of our company. And all of our associates are very proud of our company because we do believe that we give the best service to our policyholders, you know, anywhere.
And I can personally attest to that. They're extremely pleasant and helpful from purchase to the unfortunate need of filing a claim.
Right. The God forbid.
Right. Yes. But that's why you buy insurance. That's what Joan was saying. It's like you hope you don't need it, but that's why you buy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, and Joan's right. You should have a portfolio of products. We have a portfolio of products, too. We have homeowners, we have boat, we have motorcycle, we have commercial, we have umbrella, as well as the auto, which we're very famous for.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's right. You should look at what your risk factors are and make sure that you insure against those risks. And I would hope that everyone took what she said to heart and make sure that they're fully covered.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the sad thoughts you have, but you got to do it. And, you know, it's important. You want to take care of yourself, which is how I feel about insurance. Like, I want to take care of myself. And then you hope that the insurance you buy, when you need them, they're there.
Well,
it's like
happens.
A good family member.
Yes. Life happens.
Right?
Yes.
And speaking of sort of those sad moments where you know, these unexpected moments, our listeners, you know, all remember Bill Bransford, who hosted this show, was an attorney and partner at the law firm for 31 years, I think, when he died last year. He was a member of the board of FIA for 10, 15 years. He was on the board.
Probably closer to 15.
Yeah. And, you know, when he died, every article written about him said what an advocate and sort of service he had to the federal workforce. And we were really, Robin, we were so, you know, we were very, very pleased to be able to work with FIA after he passed and be able to set up a special fund in his memory.
We were so delighted at a time when we were all feeling so sad to be able to find some good, to do something good, and having the support of Shaw Bransford and Roth and the support of the Bransford family to set up what we are calling now the Bill Bransford Helping Hands Fund was a really bright spot for us in an otherwise really dismal portion of the year last year. And what it does now is allows us, it's a special fund that's part of our emergency assistance fund, but it is there to provide grants in situations where FEA wouldn't normally be able to do that, where normally the situation that an employee is having would qualify them for a loan, but not a grant. And what we find is that sometimes people come to us and they are truly in a bad place. They've had a number of setbacks financially, personally, sometimes with their health or a family member's health, and having to pay back a loan even without the interest, you know, with no interest added, is just a further hardship for them. So it's not really help. And what the Bill Bransford Helping Hands Fund allows us to do is to make a grant in those situations for the people who are really, really struggling and need our help. When they apply for assistance from FEA, we can go to that fund and use it to provide a grant to really help someone. And that grew out of Bill's giving spirit. And that was always one of the things when we would talk in our board meetings about what we'd like to see FEA be able to do that we couldn't do. That was always a goal of Bill's, was to be able to get us to a place where we were giving more grant assistance instead of loan assistance. And so having this fund is the beginning of that.
Yeah.
It's a goal that we have to grow that to a point where it's bigger than the loans, where we're giving more grants than loans.
And I have to say, last year, with the help of FEA, we were able to get the word out about the new fund in his memory. And the amount of contributions were really stunning.
It was amazing. And in just the month or two after Bill's death, we raised over $30,000. And a part of that was a matching grant that came from the law firm that we were so grateful to receive. It's a testament to how much Bill's life and work affected the people around him, you know, how much people wanted to be able to give back in honor of what he had committed his life's work to.
Yeah. And we're so pleased to be able to see. It wasn't, we knew we wanted to do something and the Bransford wanted to do something with FEA, but in all fairness, it was Steve Bauer's idea, the Bill Bransford Helping Hands Fund, and make it an emergency assistant grant, not loan. And so we're so appreciative of FEA to help us think that through in a very sad time. And I know it's given out some, you know, Steve keeps us up to date and he tells us they've given out some great grants and helped some feds who really needed help. Bill would be so happy with us. I want to thank FEA for doing that with us.
It's really our pleasure to be able to continue to honor Bill that way.
And we have, in our last minute and a half of the show, Robin, you know, I want you to take the opportunity to remind people what FEA is, because most of the people listening are federal workers looking for a charity to make their CFC contribution to. And, you know, we focus on FEA here at Fed Talk.
So all we do is help federal employees and their families. We do merit-based scholarships and emergency financial assistance for feds. And the way to help with that, to be a part of what we call Feds Helping Feds, is to make your CFC contribution to FEA at 11185. Truly, even a dollar a pay period makes a difference for us. It doesn't have to be a huge amount.
Well, you have 1.9 million federal workers.
So if everybody gave a dollar, you know, that would be phenomenal. We would be able to do a whole lot more than we already do. If you want more information about FEA before you make that pledge, we are on the web at www.fea.org. That's www.feea.org. There's a lot of information on our website. You can also get applications for the Emergency Assistance Program if you're someone who needs help. And in January, when our scholarship application is out, it will also be available on the website.
That's great. Thank you so much, Robin, from FEA, for being with us today. Joan Mellinson from Federal Long-Term Care Partners, thank you so much for being a supporter of the federal workforce. Geico, Rinthia Ross, so nice to have you on the show and to meet you, to be able to thank Geico for all the work it's done in supporting federal workers.
You're